You know, over the last several years, as I have arrived home in the evenings during the week, occasionally I would see an older couple walking around the neighborhood. Not highly unusual, because our neighborhood's one of those neighborhoods where there's always people walking around the neighborhood. But occasionally when I came home at night, I'd see that older couple and I'd recognize them. A few months ago, I hadn't seen them in a while. A few months ago, I saw the same older couple walking down the sidewalk. But this time, they weren't walking quite as fast. This time, they weren't holding hands and swinging their hands and walking quite as fast as they used to. This time, they were kind of holding each other up instead, just trying to make it down the sidewalk together. You know what that's like. You've seen that. Just trying to hold each other up. A couple weeks ago, I got home in the evening. They weren't walking down the sidewalk, holding hands, swinging hands together. This time, they weren't even holding each other up on their elbows. This time, she was pushing him in a wheelchair. But they were still out for their walk. There's something special about going for a walk together. Something special about two people walking together, going in the same direction, going at the same pace, being able to talk and share and be with each other. I think the Lord knew that, don't you? I think the Lord knew that when you read in the Old Testament, Amos, the Old Testament prophet Amos, when God says through Amos in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, where God is talking to His people who are straying away from Him, He says, can two people walk together unless they are agreed? Two people, God knows, if they're going to walk together, they've got to walk together down that pathway. God was walking with Amos, and God longed for His people Israel to come along and to walk with Him, that they might walk down that path together. It makes me think of Enoch back in the book of Genesis. You've heard about Enoch, but he's not one of those Bible characters that we know a lot about. The character Enoch, we only have really a handful of verses in the book of Genesis. If you count it up, it's going to be less than 50 words that you have about this great Bible character. We don't know a whole lot about him. We know that he lived 365 years. And God summarized those 360... How do you summarize 365 years? God summarized the 365 years of Enoch's life in only four words. You know what he said about Enoch? Those 365 years, he summed up by saying, he walked with God. And he said it twice in those verses in Genesis chapter 5. He walked with God. If someone were to summarize the 365 years of your life, what would that look like? Do you want to live 365 years? What would you even look like if you lived 300? But if someone were to summarize the 300 or however many years you get to live on this earth, if someone were to summarize them and they could only use four words, what words would they choose? Would they be able to say that you walked with God? The passage that was read from this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 2. And I want to encourage you to go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because it's in that text, and one of those core verses is over there, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, where Peter wanted those Christians that he was writing to, you know what he wanted them to do? He wanted them to walk with God. He wanted them to walk with Jesus. And he tells them in 1 Peter chapter 2 that Jesus had left us an example. Jesus had walked out there in front of us in order that, Peter says, we might follow in His steps. Peter wanted these Christians to whom he's writing to. And these Christians that he's writing to, they're facing severe persecution because of their faith. Because they believe in Jesus, because they're living the Christian life, they're suffering severe persecution. And Peter says, what you need to do is you need to walk with Jesus. Right there at the heart, right in the very center of the book of 1 Peter, he says, you need to walk with Jesus. Maybe today you're facing some of the same things that those Christians that Peter wrote to faced. Maybe you're dealing with some of the same things that they did. Maybe you're like they were in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Maybe you're trying to keep your hopes up while everything around you seems to be trying to tear your hopes down. You know what Peter would say to you? You need to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them in chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Maybe you're struggling with your faith. Maybe your faith is wobbling a bit. You're questioning some things. You know what Peter would say to you? You need to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them were in chapter 1, verse 14. They were struggling with their former life, the life they had before they became a Christian, and they were struggling getting rid of that former life. You know what Peter would say to you if you're struggling with that? You need to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, where God says you need to live a holy life, and you're trying. You're trying to live a holy life. You're trying to be different from the world around you. You're trying to be set apart and to live that distinct life that God wants you to live. And if you're trying to do that, you know what Peter would say to you? You need to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them, chapter 1, verse 24. You're dealing with the uncertainties of life, the frailties of life, the fact that life is short, that it's only going to last for a little while. Some of you are facing that, maybe yourself, or maybe facing that with some family member. You know what Peter would say that you need to do? You need to walk with Jesus. Maybe some of you are new Christians, like some of them were in chapter 2 and verse 2, and some of you are. Some of you have just been baptized in the last few months. Maybe you were baptized in 2024 last year. Maybe you're trying to figure out the what and the how and the why of all this Christian life. You know what Peter would say to you? You need to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them were in chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, where they were being rejected. Jesus had been rejected in that section, and Peter's writing these, and they've been rejected by family and friends. Why? Because of their Christian walk, and maybe that's something you're facing. You know what Peter would say to you? You need to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them were in chapter 2 and verse 9, where you're really trying to be a good example for those around you. You really are trying to proclaim the excellencies, the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're trying to do the best that you can do. You know what Peter would say you need to do? You need to keep walking with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them in chapter 2 and verse 11. You're struggling with the fleshly lusts that are warring against your soul, and the devil seems to have your number and keeps putting those lusts out in front of you. You know what Peter would say to you? You need to walk with Jesus. Are you getting the idea of what Peter's writing about in this book? And these people are facing the same things that we face. Maybe you're like some of them were in chapter 2 and verse 12, that you're trying your hardest to overcome these people that are speaking evil of you. You're trying to do right, that these people are speaking evil against you all the while. Do you have people like that in your life? You're trying to do what's right, but people keep picking on you. People keep making fun of you. They keep questioning. You know what Peter would say to you? You need to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of those Christians were in chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Maybe you're questioning your government. Maybe you're concerned about your government. Maybe you don't trust your governmental leaders like some of them did. You know what Peter would say you need to do? You just need to keep walking with Jesus is what you need to do. Maybe you're like some of them were in chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Maybe you've got a boss who is not very nice. You're dealing with a boss who makes your life miserable. You think about going back to work tomorrow and you don't want to be there. Maybe you've got some people over you at work that you just can't stand to be around. You know what Peter would say to you? You need to be walking with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of those Christians were in chapter 2, verse 21 through 23, where there's people who are insulting you, maligning you, making some harsh judgments against you. What do you need to do? keep walking with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them in chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. You're having a hard time in your marriage. You're trying to be the best husband you can be, but you're struggling. You're trying to be the best wife that you can be, but you're struggling. You know what Peter would say you need to do? You need to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them were in chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. You're struggling to control your tongue and to control your temper. You know what Peter would say you need to do? Walk with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them in chapter 3 and verse 12. You're questioning God's care for you. You're questioning, is God really there with me? You know what Peter would say to you? You need to keep walking with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them were in chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, where again there were individuals who were threatening them and intimidating them and slandering them and talking about, you ever had somebody talk about you behind your back? They had that in that day. And guess what Peter said they needed to do? Just keep walking with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them in chapter 3, verse 15, where you get nervous when people ask you a question about the faith that you have, the hope that you have. And you get nervous because you're not sure you're going to have the right answer. You know what Peter would say you need to do? Just keep walking with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them were in chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, where you've come out of a life that was not pleasing to God. And now you are really trying to live different. You're not going to those parties, chapter 4, verse 3. You're not hanging out with that same group of friends. But you know what those group of friends now think about you, chapter 4, verse 4 and 5? They think you're strange. What's wrong with you? You used to do this with us, and now you don't do this. What's wrong with you? You know what Peter would say to you? Just keep walking with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of those Christians were in chapter 4 and verse 16. That you're facing trials and persecutions just because you wear the name Christian. You need to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of them in chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. You're just trying to find your place in the church. Maybe you got baptized recently. Maybe you became a part of Palm Beach Lakes recently. You're just trying to find your place in this church. Build some relationships here. What do you need to do? Keep walking with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of those elders. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. You're really trying to shepherd the sheep of God. You know what shepherds need to do? They need to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of those Christians were in chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. Maybe you've let your pride and your ego get a little too out of control. Peter says you need to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're like some of those Christians in chapter 5, verse 7, who are trying to hang on to their burdens, trying to hang on to all of the things that they were trying to handle on their own instead of giving them to the Lord. You know what Peter would say to you? Give them up and walk with Jesus. Maybe you're fighting the devil like they were in chapter 5 and verse 8, who's trying to devour you at every turn. You know what he'd say to you? Walk with Jesus. What is 1 Peter about? Did you get the idea? Right there at the heart of the book, he says, Jesus left us an example that we would follow in his steps. Is there anything more than you need in your life right now? Whatever you're facing, anything you need more right now than to be walking with Jesus? I want you to think about two things just briefly this morning. I want you, first of all, to think about how much Jesus wants to walk with you. We're going to talk about walking with Jesus, but I want you to think about how much Jesus wants to walk with you. Why does he want to walk with you? Has he seen you walk? Why does he want to walk with you? But he does. Jesus has lifted his hand toward you. He's initiated it. He's lifted his hand toward you and said, "Will you come and walk with me?" Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus came to do what? To seek and to save you, that which was lost. He lifts his hand toward you because he wants to walk with you. Jesus loves you. And he loved you first. Sometimes it's easy to love somebody when they love you first. Remember being in second or third grade? Oh, she likes me? I kind of like her too. You didn't care about her until you found out she liked you, and all of a sudden, oh, okay, now I'll pay attention to her. Jesus didn't love you because you loved him first. 1 John 4, verse 19 says, he loved you first. He wants to walk with you. Jesus came and he lived on this earth for you. We're going to get to the point where we know that Jesus died for us. But I want you to think about the fact that Jesus came and lived on this earth. You know he had to die for you. You know he had to shed his blood for you so that your sins could be forgiven. But why didn't he just come, fast forward, and do that? Why not just come and die and go back to heaven? Why live here? You think about God creating Adam as a full-grown man. Well, just come and inhabit a full-grown body and die and be done with it. No, he came and lived a human life for you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20, the last two words of that verse. The first part of the verse says that God, before the foundation of the world, he planned to send Jesus. But now he has come, and the last two words say, he has come for you. That's why he came. He didn't come for himself. He came and lived on this earth. He was tempted. He was beaten. He went through all of those trials that a human goes. He did it for you. He wants to walk with you. Jesus came and laid down his life for you. He came and laid down his life in order that he might liberate you from sin. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, it says that he gave himself up for us, he gave himself up for us that he might redeem us, buy us back, liberate us, redeem us from every lawless deed. Which one of your lawless deeds does Jesus want to buy you out of, to liberate you from? Every single one of them. He came, Galatians 1 and verse 4, and gave himself up for my sins and your sins. He wants to walk with you. And before he went back to heaven, he said the Holy Spirit was going to come. He was going to guide those apostles into all truth. And as you read through the rest of your New Testament, that's exactly what we find, is that Jesus left us. He left us in the Bible his will for our lives. We don't have to guess. When the Bible says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? We don't have to guess at what we need to do in order to walk with Jesus. He's told us right here. He's left his will for us in this book. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, he talks about his words. He talks about his words that he had spoken, and he uses that in the plural. He rejects me and receives not my words. Here's what Jesus says, and he uses it in the plural. But then he goes and uses it, and he says, singular, the word that I, the fullness of it, the singularity of it, all that you have inside of the Bible, he says, is for you to use to know how to walk with Jesus. He didn't leave you guessing. He didn't leave you wondering, well, do I do this or do I do this in order? No. We know exactly how to walk with Jesus. And right now today, he's longing for you to come and walk with him. He says to you in Matthew 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. Is that you? And I'll give you rest. That older couple walking down the sidewalk. When they were walking down the sidewalk holding each other up, you know what that scene looks like, because that scene is of one person really holding the other person up. And Jesus says, come and walk with me. He longs for you. And he says, come and walk with me and I'll hold you up. Come and walk in the light as Jesus in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7, and I'll be right there with you. And today, he's looking. Not just for you to walk with him now, Jesus is looking for you to come and live with Him for eternity. In John chapter 14, Jesus talked about the place that He was going to prepare for you. In your mind, can you picture that place? The place that He has prepared, not in your imagination what it would look like, in the description the Bible gives of that place that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. In verse 3, He says, "And I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He's looking for you to not just walk with Him now. He's looking to take your hand and to walk you down the street of gold. When He takes me by the hand and leads me not just to the promised land, but He leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day, that will be. I want you to let this just settle down in your soul this morning. I know you know all of this, but I want you to let this just settle down and reside in your heart this morning. Jesus wants to walk with you. Are you walking with Him? Two can't walk together unless they're agreed. You cannot walk with Him unless you make up your mind to do that. But I want to tell you this morning that walking with Jesus is the best life there is. There wasn't a single amen to that. Let me say it from this side. Maybe I was on the wrong side. Just pardon me, I was on the wrong side. Walking with Jesus is the best life that there is. Amen. Some of you woke up. That's not just a preacher thing to say. The one who came and wants to walk with you, He talked about that hireling who comes in and he just wants to cause havoc and to steal the sheep. But He says, "I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly," John 10 and verse 10. What does that mean? You walk with Jesus, you're going to have the greatest life there is on earth. What does that life look like? You walk with Jesus when you love Jesus. When you love Him. He loved us first. What do we need to do second? We need to love Him. But He needs to be your first love. Revelation 2 and verse 4, that was the trouble with the Ephesian church. Jesus was no longer their first love. Jesus doesn't just need to be something or someone that you love. He needs to be your first love. Is He? You read John 14 and chapter 15, and Jesus talked throughout those chapters about loving Him. Do you really? Not just you're writing on your paper right now, "I heart Jesus. That makes me feel good." No. Do you love Jesus with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength? What does that look like? It means I listen to Jesus. I listen to what He tells me to do. In John chapter 7, in verse 24, Jesus says, "You know what a wise man is? You know what a wise man looks like? Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them." It starts with listening to what Jesus says. Remember the transfiguration scene when the God of heaven pointed down to Jesus? He didn't point at Moses, didn't point at Elijah, pointed at Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." What are you supposed to do to Him? Hear ye Him. If I'm going to walk with Jesus, I've got to get in here. And I've got to listen to what He says to me in His Scripture. If I'm going to walk with Him, it's not just listening to Him. It is letting Him have His way. Is that easy to do? Do you ever let your kids have their way? You just get tired of fighting. You get tired of what they're... All right, fine. You just give in to them. That's not what this... This isn't just talking about yielding because you're tired of the fight. This is making up your mind. I want it Jesus' way. I don't want it Burger King's way. I want it Jesus' way. And whatever He wants is what I want. And so I'm going to come along and I'm going to humble myself before Him and obey Him. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 23. Whoever would come after me, you want to walk with Jesus? Whoever would come after me, let him do what? deny himself. It's not about me. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? Loving him, listening to him, letting him have his way. Whatever, yes, Lord, whatever you want, I'm going to humble myself before you and obey you. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. And when I'm walking with Jesus, he's not leaning on me. I'm leaning on him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a scene where Jesus has got to lean on me? I'm leaning on, I desperately need him. How can you make this walk without him? How can you make this walk without grasping onto him, holding onto him, leaning on him and saying, Lord, I can't go anywhere else. Remember John chapter 6? Jesus turns to some of his disciples. He says, are you going to leave me also? And Peter says to him in verse 68, who are we going to go to? You've got the words of eternal life. We need you. We can't go anywhere else. Have you said that to Jesus? I can't go anywhere else. I need you. I can't make it through this life without you. That's what's involved in walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus means I walk with him so much. I'm with him so often. I'm doing what he wants me to do to the best of my ability as often as I can, that when people look at me, guess what they see? They see somebody who looks like Jesus. I'm with him all the time. I'm hanging out with him. I'm doing whatever he wants me to do. And when they look at me, guess what they see? Hopefully, they see somebody who looks like Jesus. That's what 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 is all about, where we started this morning. Looking like Jesus, following in his steps, striving every day to get into his word, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, and to look at the glory of Jesus and allow that to transform me from the inside out. If I'm going to walk with him, he's not going to look like me. I'm going to look like him. If I'm going to walk with Jesus, what does that look like? It involves me leading other people to Jesus. If I'm walking with him, guess what? Come here. Come and walk with me. Come over here. Get over here with me. If I'm walking with Jesus, guess what I want everybody else to be doing? Walking with Jesus. I don't want anybody to miss out on this. And so when Andrew found Jesus in John chapter 1, John chapter 1 and verse 42 says, he first went and found his brother Peter. He found Jesus. He found Jesus, and guess what? No, I got to get Peter. The first thing he did is said, I got to go lead Peter to Jesus. I can't walk with Jesus by myself. I want somebody else over here with me. Are you walking with Jesus so much that you can't stand it if somebody else isn't coming along with you? You got to bring others in to follow with you. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19. Listen, you know the verse. Go therefore and make what? Disciples. What do disciples do? They walk with Jesus. And when I'm walking with Jesus, I want others to come along and walk with Jesus. What does it look like? Walking with Jesus means that I'm looking to spend my eternity with him and not miss it for anything. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, our Christians, our citizenship is in heaven. Not here. Our citizenship is in heaven. If you're a faithful child of God, your citizenship is in heaven. And he says, from which we eagerly wait for our Savior. Are you eagerly waiting? Are you longing for the day when Jesus comes back? Where you won't just be walking with him temporarily here, where you'll get to walk with him down that street of gold forever. So you've probably guessed by now what our theme for this year is going to be, right? If you haven't guessed it by now, you haven't been paying attention. It slapped you as soon as you walked in the front door, right? And it's here, it's our elders want us to spend some time this year walking with Jesus. They want us to, not just in a theoretical sense, Not just in a, here's some sermons about it, but in a real, practical, daily, down to what I do, every part of my life. Our elders want us to spend time walking with Jesus. And so, for the rest of this year, sermons that are preached here are going to be about this theme of walking with Jesus. And not just Sunday morning sermons. Sunday morning sermons and Sunday night sermons is going to be one steady stream of walking with Jesus. We're going to walk in a chronological way just through the life of Jesus, starting at the beginning and taking our time to walk with Him and to see not just facts that we can learn and memorize, but to see how does that impact me? How can I draw closer to Him? How can I increase my love for Him? How can I help others to come and enjoy this walk with me? And I'm thankful that our elders don't just want us to do this in 2025, but our elders want us to do this in 2025 and 2026 for 2 years to just spend time with Jesus. There is nothing that will transform your life more, nothing, than getting down into the life of your Savior and your friend and walking with Him and saying, okay, what do I need to learn from that? How do I need to apply it to my life? And so the sermons are going to be divided up into 6 different categories. What does that mean? Well, there's different things, different ways to take the life of Jesus and to divide it into sections. And as we work through this chronologically, the first several in this banner on this side of the stage, this banner will change. And on the bottom of it, it'll give away to you what kind of lesson it's going to be for that day. And so tonight's lesson will be the first of several, because there's going to be several, these first few weeks are going to be these background kind of lessons where we're going to be setting the stage for Jesus, looking at some things that we need to lay some groundwork before we can get to that first study in the day of the life of Jesus, just setting the stage for the life of Jesus. And then after a few lessons that we look at just setting the stage, we'll begin looking at events in His life. And so for those lessons, this banner over here is going to say, stepping into the daily life of Jesus, where we just look at an event in the life of Jesus, say, okay, what do I need to learn from that? What do I need to take from that? What do I need to apply from that? And then we're going to get to His first miracle. And all of these are going to be weaved together. We're not going to study all the miracles together. All of these are going to be weaved together. So then we're going to get to His first miracle. And when we get there, we're going to stand in awe. The power of Jesus to do miracles. And again, not just look at factual things, but what difference does that make in my life in 2025? As we go through His life, we're going to see those conversations that Jesus had. And so we're going to spend time looking at those one-on-one conversations. And so we're going to spend time speaking with Jesus, like the Samaritan woman, like Nicodemus. And those one-on-one conversations. What can I learn when Jesus just stopped and have a conversation with Zacchaeus? What can I learn from that? We're going to spend some time looking at Jesus' lessons, His teachings. And we're just going to sit at the feet of Jesus and see, what do I need to learn from what He is saying? We'll study as we get to them, and in the study, we'll get to them, and we'll study about His parables. And we'll just see His stories come to life as Jesus takes some heavenly things, some heavenly truths, and He presents them through an earthly story. And I'll see those stories come to life and say, how does that impact me? These lessons are designed to be so practical. Lessons are designed Sunday morning, and don't miss being here Sunday morning and Sunday night, because it's just going to be one steady flow of studying through. And so maybe your habit has not been to come on Sunday nights. I want to encourage you to come on Sunday nights and to be a part of just every single time we're together on Sundays, to be walking and stepping in the footsteps of Jesus to see, how does that change my life? We're so wrapped up in so many things of this world, we need to call a time out. And when you say, hang on a second, I need to get back with my Lord for a little while. I need to come over here and spend some time walking with Him so that when I call a time in and I go back into the world, I'm walking where I need to go, doing the things that I need to do. But you know, Sundays aren't enough, are they? It's something we need. And so as you came in, and ushers, you can start passing these things out. But as you came in, I hope many of you picked up the new the Sermon Bible Class notebook. We try to give these every year. And so there's a new one out there to go along and for you to be able to take notes this year on all the sermons and Bible classes so that you can have all of those in one place. But what the ushers are going to be passing out to you is what we always give, try to always give to you on the first Sunday of every year, and that's just the calendar that, to the best of our ability, has everything that's going to happen this year. We know that's not true because there'll be things that come up that are not here. But for the most part, this has everything that we know of as of Friday that will be happening as far as congregational events that impact us. And so take this and start marking your calendar. Mark your calendar for January 26th. 3 weeks from today is our Mission Sunday. It's just like the highlight of the year. We have it right at the beginning, our Mission Sunday. Mark your calendar for March 2nd through 5th, our gospel meeting. Hiram Kemp is coming to preach in our gospel meeting this year. Hiram is, I want to say he's the best preacher in the brotherhood, but I can't say that, so I didn't say it. But he is at the top, all right? He is one of my favorite preachers. You will love Hiram Kemp. First week of March, put it on your calendar. April 17th, Ladies Day, Thursday night, Shamika Hannah from the Bahamas, Tavaro's wife, is going to be speaking on our lady. She is tremendous. And those of you who know her, she's a tremendous lady. She's going to do a great job April 17th on our Ladies Day. May 3rd, we have our power up for our guys, for our men. Mark it on your calendar. Saturday, May 3rd is our power up. And then Sunday, May the 4th is not Star Wars Day, although it could be. Sunday, May the 4th is our Friends and Family Day. Dan Winkler is going to be here to speak for us two times on Sunday morning on our friend. You've heard Dan Winkler preach before. He is awesome. You'll want to bring your friends and family to that. All right. In June, we start our summer series. The theme for the summer series is When the Trumpet of the Lord Shall Sound. And then on June 8th through 11th, we have our Vacation Bible School for all ages. Put it on your calendar. July 13th through 19th, our Forever Camp for our kids up at Central Florida Bible Camp. In August, we mentioned this morning, and August 14th through 18th, Jeff Leslie's taking a group from here up to Polishing the Pulpit. Your life will be changed forever by going up there. You need to see Jeff this morning if you haven't already signed up for that. September 28th is a Friends and Family Day again, this one with Kyle Butt from Apologetics Press. Kyle's going to do an outstanding job for us. We're looking forward to that. The theme for his lessons is the life as God created, as God designed it, the life as God designed it, looking forward to that. And then I know I've forgotten something, but our lectureship is November 6th through the 9th, studied just from the book of James, how-tos for the Christian living. There's a lot going on this year. Take the calendar, mark it down, say, I'm going to be a part of everything that's going on. We've got a lot of stuff going on for our ladies this year. First mom group activity was last night. Mark these things down. Make these a priority so that we're walking with Jesus this year. But it's not just Sundays and not just special events. Those aren't the only things that are going to help us to what? That's limited. We need to walk with Jesus every day. And so, as you leave this morning, and they've removed the covers as on those tables, as you leave this morning, there will be a Bible reading schedule on a card out there that we've made up for you that will take you through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospel accounts, will take you through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John every 30 days. So in every month, you can read two or three chapters, depending on what it is for that day. You read two or three chapters every day, and every month you can read through the life of Jesus. And then on the back of it, it says, here are 12 different ways you can do it so that if you get to where you don't want to keep reading the same thing, you can read it from a different translation. You can listen to it. But there's 12 different ways that you can. So what if you get to the end of 2025 and you've read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 12 times? Would you have been walking with Jesus? Would you have been writing those things on your heart for the entire year? Would you know those parts of the, would you know about Jesus better than you did? You will. What an opportunity to spend time walking with Jesus every month this year. But also as you leave this morning, there's a daily devotional project that is in the works that is designed to help us to spend part of every day, whether it's reading on this schedule, part of every day spending some time in study of God's Word. You know, members of this congregation know that a couple of years ago, we did what was called a chapter a day, where we read a chapter of the New Testament every day through the year and read through the New Testament during that year. This year, what we want to try to do, instead of a chapter a day, is to shrink it down and to do a verse a day. And to take 365 verses from the life of Jesus in chronological order, and just to spend time every day focusing on one verse in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. As you leave today, the whole year is not finished to give to you yet. So as you leave today, there's going to be a booklet on the tables out there for the month of January. So for the month of January, here's 31 days in January, where each day has a verse for you from the gospel accounts in chronological order for you to spend time in studying and meditating on. You say, a verse? How can you spend much time with a single verse? I'm glad you asked that question. Here's what the page looks like, all right? It has, here's the verse for the day, Luke 1 and verse 4. And there's a box up at the top of the page that says, write out the verse. Pick your translation. Take time and write out in that box the verse. And then after you've written it out, try to memorize it. Read over it, over it, over it, over it, over it, until you can say it without looking at it. Would that help you? Oh, I don't need to memorize. Why not? We memorize all sorts of stuff. Some of you know baseball stats, football stats, you know player stats, you know album stats from singers, you know songs, you know everything about all sorts. What have you done? You've memorized it. Oh, I didn't memorize. Yes, you did. How did you memorize it? You spent a lot of time with it until it was just locked in. Spend a lot of time with this verse. Memorize it. To where you get to the end of that day and you can say that verse without looking at it. Spend some time in your Bible marking it. Now your Bible may have, I love wide margin Bibles, but there will be a section here that offers you some things where you can underline, circle, write some verses out, draw some lines, make some marginal notes in your Bible. Obviously you can't write all of those lines in your Bible, but take the highlights that you want to remember later and find a way to mark them in your Bible. There's a section on every page. What do I do with this today? I need to apply this to my life today. And then maybe you've never done this, but take the verse and pray it. Pray through the verse. This works really well with the Psalms, but you can do it with any verse in the Bible. Pray it. What does that mean? Take what you've just read and you've studied, and read through, say that verse in a prayer back to God, asking Him to help you live that verse. And so there's a suggested way that you can pray through that verse at the bottom. And then the last thing on every page is, do something today to share this verse. Those of you on Facebook, you already got a glimpse of what our theme was. You started seeing these posts from the church on January 1st, and you're like, these are interesting posts. I kind of like these. Well, guess what? Those posts that have been going on our Facebook page since January 1st are these verses. They are the verse of the day. And so I want to urge you, not just on the verse of the day posts that are coming out on Instagram and Facebook. I want to urge you, every time you see something on social media from the church, would you go and like it? I know I'm telling you, but would you go and like it? Would you go and share it? Do you know that that helps drive other traffic to the church? People who may never find us. When something's posted on our YouTube page, when a lesson gets posted on the YouTube page, maybe you didn't like this, maybe you slept through the sermon, I don't know. But would you just go and share it? Maybe go and like it. Just like it. What does that do? It drives traffic. So I want to encourage you not just to share the posts that are going on with these verses, do that, but to like and share other things at the church so that others around us can get to find the church just through our social media efforts. What are we trying to do this year? We're trying to walk with Jesus. We're trying to find a variety of ways that we can do that. Through the sermons, through our activities this year, through the Bible reading schedule, through the verse a day. Well, if we do the verse a day in 2025, what's that? Or we can do the verse a day again in 2026 since we're doing 2 years of walking with Jesus. 2026, it's not just going to be a verse a day. 2026 will be a passage a day, where we're going to take somewhere on average about 10 to 12 verses in the life of Jesus and look at every verse in the gospel accounts in a chronological way to say, what difference does this make to me? Our elders are excited about this year, and I hope that you will be excited about this year. I don't know what your walk with Jesus looks like. Your walk with Jesus may look like you're walking down the sidewalk and just holding hands and swinging and everything's going great. And I hope that's true. Your walk with Jesus may look like that you're holding on to Him, leaning on Him, using Him to hold you up. Or your walk with Jesus might look like this now. You might not only be able to do it if He's pushing you along. Whatever the case is, whatever your walk looks like, don't stop. That's the message that I got from this couple. Whatever was going on with them, we're not going to stop what we always do. Whatever's going on in your life, don't stop walking with Jesus. Make it the most important thing about your life. So that when you get to the end of your life and somebody's trying to summarize your life in 4 words, maybe they can use those same 4 words that God used about Enoch. That you walked with God. Is that you? I'm excited about what this year and next year has in store for us. But I'm excited about these next few minutes too. Is your life where it needs to be? The song we're going to sing says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's lifted His hand toward you. He's loved you first. He lived this life for you, laid down His life for you. What is He doing? He's bidding you, come to me. Are you going to do that today? Are you walking with Him in the way the Bible says to walk with Him? Believing that Jesus is the Son of God? Turning away from sin in your life? Turning your life in the direction of God? If you're ready to make that decision today, you can do what they did in the New Testament. Confess your faith in Jesus. And this very day, you can be baptized into Christ. To allow the blood of Jesus to wash away every single sin you've ever committed. To walk out of this building as clean in the eyes of Jesus is the day that you were born. Allow Him to register your name in heaven so that you can walk in the light with Him. If you're not where you need to be in your walk, why don't you get right now as together we stand and sing.